As I mentioned earlier, Pastor Wes is out today. He's spending time with family, and we're glad that he's got the chance to be able to get away and go see the grandparents and let the grandparents see the grandkids. And so I'm honored to be able to fill in this morning. I want to ask you a question. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? You know, when someone asks you that, typically, you're sitting down, or they want to. You're there for a purpose, to have a conversation, and you're about to share what's on your mind. And I'm not really asking you to share what's really on your mind this morning, because the fact of the matter is there is probably a lot on your mind, and we don't have time for everyone to share what's on your mind. In fact, did you know that the average mind generates 6,000 to 80,000 thoughts per day? That's crazy, right? Most of the thoughts that we have tend to go negative, about 85 to 95%. And then 95% of those thoughts that we have tend to be repetitive. They're the same things that we think about over and over again that kind of haunt us and plague us. And so this equates to roughly 6.5 to 45 thoughts per minute, which is kind of crazy to think that as we're awake, we've always got stuff on our minds. This morning, you're here because you wanted to be at church, or maybe you were encouraged or forced to come to church. Whatever the case is, you're here, but are you all here? Sometimes it's hard to be all here, right? Sometimes it's hard to be all anywhere because of all the thoughts that we have in our mind, of all the thoughts that we're thinking through. And in fact, me even talking about this right now is probably causing you to think, what am I going to have for lunch today? What am I going to do later today? What happened yesterday? And so all these things that play out, and it's hard to focus. It's hard to focus our minds on what our minds should be focused on. In fact, when Wes and I initially talked about preaching, there were two different dates already this year that he was going to be able to go and for me to fill in, and that didn't work out. And one of the things I wanted to share as we look at a new year, and a lot of times when you hear the new year starts, and I know right now we're in the middle of February, so right, the new year seems like ages ago, right, back in January. But when we start out a new year, typically we want to change behaviors or actions. We want things to be different in a new year. But what we fail to do a lot of times is to, and why we fail in those behaviors and actions is because we don't change our minds. We don't renew our minds. And it's crazy to think about all those thoughts that we are thinking in our brain right now, well-meaning thoughts. So those are just the thoughts when we're awake, but a whole nother thing is when you're dreaming, right? And you wake up the next morning, you're like, where did that come from? Like, I've never even been to that country. I've never even done that thing. And why am I dreaming about skydiving? It's crazy. So where do these things come from? And how do our minds work? And how do our minds not work? Well, today I want to talk to us a little bit about that. And we've got several passages that we're going to be in this morning that I want us to look at together. But again, that question, what's on your mind? And what is it that tends to control your thoughts? What is it that you seem to think about often? Is it negative? Is it positive? If again, most of our thoughts are negative, it could be worrying about what's coming up, or worrying about how we're going to be able to take care of our family, or you know, maybe you don't have a family yet, and you're thinking, will I ever find that person? Will I ever have a family? Will I ever have enough money to support my family? We just have all these thoughts that go on and on and on, which makes it really hard to focus. But yet, we're told, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that the mind that is governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So obviously, Jesus wants us to live in peace. He wants our hearts and minds to be uncluttered and to have life and to have peace. But we know that that doesn't always happen. In fact, much of the time that doesn't happen, because our minds are running in a million different directions. And so why do we struggle, and how can we take steps to correct that? Well, I want to share a few things with you this morning, a few points. If you're taking notes, you need to understand, first of all, that one of the reasons that we have the problem that we have, God's given us minds. He's given us the ability to think and to think logically and to reason. He's set us apart from all other creation. We're made in His image with that ability to think and to reason, and it's a beautiful thing. It's amazing. God didn't mess up when He gave us the minds that He gave us. But we're in a war, and you need to know that, first of all, that we are in a war for our minds. We are in a war, in a battle for our minds. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul tells us, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we have an enemy who would love nothing more than to derail us. See, Satan can't have us, right? We're God's kids. We've been bought by Jesus. So he can't have our souls. But what he will do is he will do everything he can to steal our joy. So God, our souls may be safe with God in Christ, but Satan will work to steal every ounce of joy and every ounce of peace that the Spirit offers. Again, we're told that the mind controlled by the Spirit is of life and peace, and Satan doesn't want us to have that. And so what he'll do is he'll throw all kinds of things and all kinds of distractions in our way so that we are not able to focus. Even now, maybe you're having a hard time focusing. And I get that. I understand that. We have so many things going on. But this morning, if we could lock in for a few minutes, because I want you to understand the seriousness of this battle. Because we all have a mission in this life. We have a purpose and a mission, and our purpose is to know Christ. Our purpose is to get to know Him better. And our mission is to help others in this world to know Christ. But Satan doesn't want either of those things. He doesn't want you to know Christ. He doesn't want you to experience that, so he'll do whatever he can to keep you from reading your word or going to church and throw all these distractions in the way, or even when you are here, to not think about what's being said because he wants to distract you. Or you think about the mission. If you're not feeling a life of peace or joy, then why on earth would you share that with anybody else? So if Satan can make you miserable in that, he'll do that. He doesn't want you to know Christ. He doesn't want other people to know Christ. They're enemies. And so because we belong to Jesus, we also have a target on our back where we are his enemies. We are Satan's enemies. And so he wants to do everything he can to keep us from following Jesus and living in that joy and peace. Paul tells us earlier in Ephesians that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, who is at work in those who disobey God, which means much of what we see and hear in this world comes directly from lies. So let's talk about all that we see and hear in any given day. We're bombarded daily with images and messages from others, from media, through TV, through movies, from social media that tell us what to think, and they tell us how to think. We hear constant news, we hear constant opinions telling us how to think about certain things, and people telling us that if we don't think or feel a certain way about X, about this particular topic, then we're wrong. It gets even worse when another Christian will tell us that if you truly are a Christ follower, then you should believe this way. And so we see what's happening in our culture, where all of those thoughts and all those opinions, all that negativity affects us. And so Satan loves division. So he causes division in our country. And is our country divided right now? Yes, right? And Satan loves that. He loves that division, and he loves creating chaos. And when you look at the church, and I'm talking about the Big C church, but when you look at Christians, what he loves to do is he loves to divide them as well. So we live in a divided nation. In Christendom, there are divisions and people saying, if you're a Christian, you should think this and believe this. And so it causes us to feel conflicted, right? And we're like, well, I don't know what to believe, and if I believe a little differently, am I wrong, and how do I do this? And no wonder it's so hard to have a clear head and to focus, because those messages and those images serve to distract us. So I was doing a little research on this week. Do you know that The average person touches their phone 2,617 times a day. Now, you may hear that and you may go, no, not me, right? Or maybe you're thinking that and go, well, actually, I thought it was a little bit more than that, but okay. The average, if you were to look at your screen time, if you've ever gone back and looked at, the average person spends 7 hours a day on screens, looking at screens. And it may be innocent things, right? It may be just looking at news, but you think about that, 7 hours a day on screens and touching our phones. Our minds were not meant to take in this much information at this pace, and we can't possibly have a clear mind with all of this going on in our brains, right? So let's take all of the messages and all of the things that Satan uses to distract us, and let's pile all that on top of the baggage that we already have. Think about your life and how your life has played out. You have a lifetime full of memories of things that you've seen and things that you've experienced and lived through. Maybe words that were said to you that were hurtful, and you've carried those around all these years, and maybe words that your parents said to you, and those words have stuck with you. And so you're carrying around all of these things that have haunted you from the past. They've affected you, and it's created what Scripture would call a stronghold, okay? Have a picture, put a picture of a stronghold up here. If you've ever heard of this, this is a picture of an ancient stronghold here. But a stronghold is a fortress or a fortified place. It's a secure refuge symbolizing both safety, security, and dominance, typically on the highest peak in the city. It would have reinforced walls, and in times of war, it would thought to be the safest place. In fact, if an invading army was coming, they would take the leader of the city into that stronghold because it was believed to be the most secure place where nothing could get in. Scripture has another way of defining strongholds, but spiritually speaking, they are lies that we believe and lies that have been reinforced time and time again in our minds. Words that have been played out over and over again. They've built up this stronghold. And it's become so reinforced with lies that it seems almost impossible to get past it. It seems almost impossible to tear down that stronghold because it has been built up with time and been built up with experiences in our life and built up with continued distractions. And they can be massive. And they can be seemingly impossible to take down. And they affect not just us, but they affect people that we love. They affect people around us because we get so caught up in this that it affects how we behave and how we act. In psychology, I don't know if any of you have studied much psychology, but there's what's known as the law of cognition. And what the law of cognition says is this, that what you think about determines who you are. Specifically, what you think about affects what you believe. Those beliefs affect how you feel. Those feelings affect your actions, which affects how we live. And so our enemy, in this war that we have, he will work to distract us. He will work to lie to us. And he will cause us to replay mistakes and words over and over and over again in our heads. He knows that if he can cloud our minds, he can keep us from living out that purpose to know God. He can keep us from living out that mission to help others know God. If he can distract us, if he can cause us to feel insecure, if he can cause us to be riddled with doubt and anxiety, then yes, we tend not to share the good news of Jesus Christ because we're not really feeling the good news, even though it's true and it's real. But those strongholds have been put up in our lives. And for those of us who follow Christ and identify as his children, you have to know that Satan wants to do everything he can to cause us to doubt that. Because if he can cloud our minds, if he can confuse us, then he can cripple us. And if he can cripple us, then he can eventually destroy us. And so our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. We know what we want and we know who we want to be, but our thoughts seem to have a will of their own. Our minds don't always tend to mind. right? If your parent ever told you to mind me, right? We try to tell our thoughts and emotions, I'm not going to think that way. Our minds don't always mind us. So God made you to be who you are, and he's given you a mind. And so if we want to move forward in living out that purpose and living out that mission, we're going to have to learn to identify those strongholds and to take out those strongholds. But there is no way that we can just do it through positive thinking or just saying some words. It's going to take a lot more than that. And so in this battle for our minds, in this battle to have pure hearts and pure minds, it is a fight. But we're told not only that we're in a war, but that God will fight for us. God will fight for us, but he also wants us to fight with him. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. I have this up on the screen, but I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes today, to mark this in your Bible, or to at least to write down the passage so that you can come back to this passage. It's one of my favorites. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Remember, we talked about earlier, those weapons that the enemy uses, they're not weapons of this world. We have the prince of the power of the air fighting against us, and so we're going to need some weapons that are more powerful than he is. The weapons we fight with, verse 4, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. I want to emphasize that. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I want to leave that up there for just a few moments, because what a powerful verse. Because what Paul is telling us is that we have God's power on our side. The weapons that we fight with, they're not the weapons of the world. If the enemy is working in a different system, then the weapons that we use have to be of a different system as well. And so God gives us the weapons. Okay, we know about the spiritual armor that he gives us, which includes the helmet of salvation, right? The breastplate of righteousness, but the helmet of salvation, which helps to protect our thoughts, to remind us of who we are in Christ, the fact that we are his kids. So it's significant that he gives us that helmet. So he gives us the defensive armor, but he also gives us offensive weapons. And that offensive weapon that he gives us is his word. So it's amazing that you look at that, because you think about the armor of God, and you've got all these different pieces that you're putting on to defend yourself, but yet there's only one weapon. There's only one offensive weapon that God gives us. And when you first see that, you're like, wait, so I got to put on all this armor, but all I get is a sword? But it's not just any sword, right? It's the word of God. And that word of God has divine power to demolish every argument and to take down strongholds. And so when Paul says, we take captive every thought, you think about that. We take captive every thought that comes into our mind. So if it's a thought of worry or fear, if it's a thought of insecurity, if it's an impure thought, then rather than let your mind dwell on that, you have an opportunity there to use the word of God as your weapon and to say, no, I'm not going to think about that. And we don't just say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to, because right, what are you going to do? You're going to think about it. So you look to remind yourself of God's word, and then you do something else. Okay, you move on. You move on and refuse to let that thought linger. You take that thought captive. Whatever imagery helps you there, whether it's taking that thought and locking it away in a jail, or whether it's if you're on the football field and you're thinking about tackling someone and demolishing them, right? Like taking that thought out and getting it out of here because you don't want it in your brain anymore. Whatever helps you to imagine that, taking that thought captive, okay? There's a rule of exposure that says this. It says, whatever we're exposed to the most shapes our thoughts. So our minds are like a sponge, okay? So if you think about it, let's say we spend 4 hours a day watching news, or we spend 4 hours a day on social media, or absorbing content. And you think about it, especially some of the stuff that's out there right now, or a lot of the stuff that's out there right now, you think about the negative messages and the people that have to go off on everything, right? They've got to put this rant out on TikTok or on YouTube, and if your diet consists of 4 hours of taking that in every day, then what do you think is going to happen to you? You're going to become negative. You're going to tend to become, you're going to reflect the people that you're listening to. I remember last year in my health battle, I loved in the past to listen to political podcasts. And there came a point where I was already in a negative state of thinking just about where I was with my health, but also hearing this, I finally just had to stop for a while because I could not take the negativity anymore. I couldn't focus on the positive things and what I needed to do to get better because my mind was being shaped and warped by all this political stuff and all this negativity. And I was just like, I gotta take a break because I gotta be able to focus on the right things. And so I don't know what that looks like for you. What are you exposed to the most? And is it shaping your thoughts? Is it shaping how you interact with people? Is it shaping how you see yourself? Are the things that you're hearing and seeing drawing you closer to God? Or are they pulling you away from Him? Are they pulling you away from getting to know Him? So if we don't take our thoughts captive, if we don't use God's word to take our thoughts captive, then they will take us captive. And maybe you've experienced that in your life where those thoughts and that negativity and that worry and fear have begun to take you captive. And before you know it, that's who you become. And you look and you're like, who am I? Because this is not how I started, but this is where I've ended up. Because I've allowed my mind to be consumed and distracted by other things. So to truly demolish those strongholds, you got to get brutal. You've got to create new neural pathways in your brain that lead towards positivity and not negative. And again, I'm not just talking about positive self-talk. I'm just talking about first looking and seeing what is it that's getting in my ears and my eyes, and what is it that is affecting me? And parents, grandparents, you not only have to do it for you, but you have to do it for your kids as well. Where you have to be vigilant about what you allow them to see and what you're allowing society to tell your kids, because they're not just telling your kids, they have an agenda and they are absolutely out to help shape your kids' thoughts. And as a parent, as a grandparent, you say, no, I'm the parent, not you, not this cartoon, not this channel, I'm the parent and I want to protect my kids. And so we fight to be vigilant about that. We fight by remembering that God's divine power is stronger than the enemy. It's stronger than that negative talk. It's stronger than those thoughts. And we take those thoughts captive and we surrender them to Him and we refuse to play them out. But this passage, what I love about this passage, going back to it again, it says we also don't fight as the world does. So yes, we're to be brutal in taking thoughts captive, but it also means that we do things differently than how the world does it. We don't allow those worldly thoughts to affect how we treat people. So let me give you an example. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And remember, God's word tells us that struggle is not against flesh and blood. So what am I getting at with that passage? So if God's word tells us to get rid of bitterness and anger and rage, and that's typically what we're seeing, right? When in so much of the news and so much of the things that are out there, then to get rid of that, to begin to look and say, you know, rather than if someone offends me, rather than jumping onto social media and airing that out for everyone to hear, which is what typically happens, right? We say, no, I'm going to go to that person directly and I'm going to address the conflict that we have, because this isn't other people's business. This is our business. And if I have a problem, I'm going to go to that person, and I want to deal with that. I don't want to put it on blast for everyone to see, because God's word tells me to get rid of that stuff. God's word tells me to be kind and compassionate. So that when we think about the fact that our weapons don't look like the world's, our weapon is not to use a sword to get back at people. The sword that we have is the word of God, and rather than use that to attack, we remember that we are to love each other and be kind and compassionate. If someone's wronged you, then be blunt about that, but go to that person and tell them. So we're in a war for our minds. God tells us that he'll help us fight that war, but he wants us to fight with him. And lastly, to win that war, we have to retrain our brain daily. Sorry if that's a little cutesy. I'm a student pastor. But we have to retrain our brain daily. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to help us remember this. I want you to see, again, I know we're Paul's got most of the scripture today that we're looking at, but in Philippians 4, 6, and 8, one of my favorite passages where this is, I've come back to this time and time again, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your what? Minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Again, if our minds are clouded with negativity, we're not thinking about the things that are true, right, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. We're thinking about negativity. And we're told that we need to do things differently. In Romans 12, Paul also tells us, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we got to ask ourselves, do our thoughts tend to move towards transformation, being transformed by the truth of God, or do they lean towards conformity, where we're thinking the way the world does, where they're thinking the same way and the same things that the world's thinking? Are our thoughts building up, or are our thoughts tearing us down? In Ephesians 4:22, Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I just gave you a lot of scripture, but all the scripture is Paul's pointing towards the same thing, that we are to look different and to be different than the world, and we, part of that difference is having a renewed mind. And we have to make that choice daily, throughout the day, multiple times throughout the day, to think about the things that are right, that are true, that are noble, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent and praiseworthy. We have to replace the lies, and we hear a lot of lies. We replace those lies with the truth, and that may mean not listening to some of the same things or watching some of the same things that other people do. That may make for some awkwardness when you're around the water cooler and they're talking about something that happened last night or something that was on TV and you didn't see it, and you got kind of the nervous laughter that I have no clue what they're talking about. But that's okay. That's all right, because you're not conforming to the world, but you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. But it is hard. It's hard to be left out. It's hard to look different. It's hard to be different than the world, because we want to fit in, and God does not call us to fit in. He calls us to be different, to put on the new self, and to be made new in the attitude of our minds. When I was a teenager, I used to, and many of you can identify with, and I'm going to alienate probably a fourth of the room, but there were these things called mixtapes, right? And, mixtapes. And the awesome thing about mixtapes is See, back in the day before streaming, students, just so you understand, we had to listen to music, and I know records, 8-tracks, and then tapes, but tapes, you would wait on the radio for a song to come on, and you would press record. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, see, so you're recording this music, and back in the day, I loved 80s music, right? And so I'm listening to 80s music, and I'm making all these mixtapes, but then somebody started introducing me to Christian music. And so we have a Christian radio station, and so I begin listening to Christian music, and I begin to notice the effect and the difference that it has on me. Why am I talking about a mixtape? Because what would happen is I would take some, not all, I'd take some of those mixtapes that had all of the music that probably wasn't that appropriate, and I begin to record over it. I mean, and you could take tapes that were put out for something else. You put the little tape, little scotch tape over the top, and you can record new stuff over it, and you can replace what was on there with the stuff that you wanted to hear. Now, this isn't me saying to go out and get rid of all your 80s music, because I love 80s music, but it is me saying that, like mixtapes, our minds are similar in that we begin to replace the old stuff with the new stuff. We record over the lies and the messages from the past and from the present that we're seeing, and we replace those with God's word. We replace those with what is true, and we have to focus our minds on what is true. So in his book, Winning the War for Your Mind, Pastor Greg Rochelle gives a three-step approach to replacing the lies with the truth. First, you identify the stronghold, the wrong pattern of thinking that you may have that's holding you back. And then secondly, you ask yourself, what truth from Scripture can demolish that stronghold? What scripture can help me in taking that stronghold down? Remembering that God's word has divine power to demolish strongholds. And that's so easy now, because now what you can do is if you have a particular stronghold in your life, let's say worry, and you could do a Google search, say Bible verses on worry, and you get this whole list of things, and you begin to look at that and say, okay, which of these verses could I use to help reshape my thoughts? So I'm replacing the lies of the world with the truth of God's word. Okay, you write it down somewhere where you can see it, you think it, you say it out loud with your mouth, because that helps you to confess it, and you keep confessing it until you believe it. So he gives a few examples. I want to share these with you this morning because they're powerful. So first of all, let's say you're struggling to know God's will. And one of the things that you can do is, you don't have to use this particular statement, but you take God's word and you begin to craft your own statement based on God's word, where you say, my life belongs to God. Daily I seek him, and daily he directs my steps. I know his voice, and he leads me to his perfect will. So if you're struggling to know God, you begin to, rather than wade in that negativity, where you just feel like I can never do this, you begin to look at God's truth, and you begin to replace the lies, take that mixtape of lies, and you record over it with the truth of God's word. Here's another one. Let's say you lack confidence. You lack confidence. You look at God's word, and you begin to craft your own statement where it's something like this. My confidence is in Christ alone. Because his spirit lives in me, I can do anything and everything that he calls me to do. Those are just a couple examples. What about this? Let's say you're fighting impure thoughts, and rather than have those thoughts continue to play out, you take those thoughts captive and you make a statement like this. I'm not a slave to impure thoughts. Because God has purified my mind, I will honor him with my eyes and with my thoughts. My God is faithful. Even if I'm tempted, he will give me a way out. That's straight from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's say you're battling worry. Because of Christ, I don't need to be consumed by worry. And maybe you want to take a picture, maybe you want to write that down, maybe you want to create your own, but whatever you do, base it on God's word, because only God's word has the divine power to demolish those strongholds. So because of Christ, I don't need to be consumed by worry. I cast my cares on God because he cares for me. His peace that passes all understanding will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's awesome. It's God's word that you're using as the weapon to help demolish those strongholds in your life that have been built up. Jesus told us in John 8 that the truth will set us free. He is the truth, and he wants us to live in that freedom, church family. He wants us to know that life and that peace and that freedom. He wants us to renew our minds. He wants us to fight diligently against the attacks of the enemy. And guys, I'm just being honest. We all struggle with this. I'm not standing up here as someone who has this all figured out. I battle fears of insecurity. I battle fears of worry about the future. I deal with sometimes just a lack of confidence or regrets over things that have happened in my life, or even things that are recent, mistakes that I've made where I'm just like, gosh, I can't believe I did that again. So we all deal with this. But rather than dwell in that, negativity, we have to make a decision and a choice to move forward, to take those thoughts captive, to recognize that our enemy wants us to be derailed, and he wants us to live in that constant state of frustration. He wants us to be negative. He wants the division. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to not live in that joy and peace. Again, going back to Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Are you experiencing that life and peace? Are you experiencing that joy from walking with Christ, or has it been really difficult lately? Has it been really difficult because of all the strongholds that have been put up in your life? What would you say is your stronghold? What would you say is keeping you from moving forward in knowing Christ and making him known? Is your mind set on what the Spirit desires, or is your mind set on what the world tells you it should be? Are you feeling overwhelmed by thoughts of negativity, worry, depression, fear, impurity? Church family, we don't have to live that way. You can start today by asking God to help you in that fight to renew your mind, but you've got to want it. You've got to want to do what's necessary to fight diligently to protect your heart and to protect your mind and to begin replacing the lies of the world with the truth of God's word. You can start today by asking God to help you fight to renew your mind, to replace those lies of the world and the lies of your past with his thoughts. And what are his thoughts? True, right, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And that mind is a mind of life and peace. It's a mind that is focused on the truth. It's a mind that strives for what is pure and what is right. Where are you at today? What's going on in your mind? What's on your mind? Today, you can ask for God. Maybe you're walking with Christ and things are good, but you just find yourself so overwhelmed with the things of this world. And you know you need to renew that fight. And you need to begin moving away from the things that are distracting you and the things that are causing you to go down a negative path and to focus on what is true, right, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Let's pray together this morning. I want to ask in this time of invitation, as we begin to reflect on what's been shared this morning, it's a lot to take in and it's a lot to process. And this will probably look different for all of us, because you're going to have to ask the Spirit to examine your heart and your mind and to help you to identify the strongholds and to renew your commitment to want to walk with him and to take down those strongholds in your life, to move forward in knowing Christ and to making him known. You're going to have to ask for God's help to win that war, and you're going to have to ask for his help to retrain your brain, to think differently, to record over the thoughts and lies of the past and the present, and to walk in that life in peace. And this morning, if you have never entered into a relationship with Christ, You need to know that you're not going to be able to overcome that negativity. You're not going to be able to overcome those lies, because only God's word carries that divine power, because you're dealing with an enemy that is brutal and ruthless and will use weapons, crazy weapons, to attack us. But the only thing that can take him down is not positive self-talk, but the only thing that can take him down is God's word. And this morning, if you have never entered into a relationship with Christ, it's not just God's word, but it's the Spirit. His divine power demolishes those strongholds. And so today, if you have not entered into a relationship with Christ, you do not have that divine power, but you can. You can invite Christ to come and to live inside of you and to take over and to surrender your life and your thoughts to him, to help him renew your mind, and you can begin to walk forward in your relationship with him. So church family, as we go to this time of invitation again, I just want to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, to ask God, where am I? Am I exactly where I want to be? Am I being guided by negativity? Am I being guided by the things that I'm seeing and hearing? And Lord, you know the effect that it's having on me, and I don't want to live there anymore. Would you help me, Lord, in your divine power to demolish those strongholds, to replace the lies of this world with the truth of your word? I need your help, God. And again, if you don't know him, just by crying out a simple prayer, God, I need you. I want to enter into that relationship with you. I want to be your child. I want to know that life and that peace and that freedom and that joy. I want that for my life. I invite you to come and to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Take just a moment. Pray that simple prayer. God, help me, or God, save me.